vine and branches, and talking about how important it was for the branch to stay united to the vine. And I was sitting in there a while ago, this just dropped in me that one-sided love doesn't produce. And you think about the vine, the love of God, Jesus, okay? Jesus is supplying the source to produce. But without a branch being united to that vine, it can't produce. Think of it as male and female. Can a male produce by himself? No. Can a female produce by herself? No. Can the vine produce by itself? No. Can the branch produce by itself? No. Well, what happens if you put that vine and branch together? What if the branch had as much love for the vine as the vine has for the branch? And see, this is the thing. The vine being Jesus is just a manifestation of the love of God. And all that God has, all things that pertain to life and godliness, is coming through the knowledge of Jesus, our knowing Him. You abide in me and my words abide in you. And so the vine is supplying the potential for fruit. But where there is an imparting, there has to be a receiving. The vine is imparting, but if the branch doesn't receive what's being imparted, it can't produce. That's why He said, you have to stay in me. You stay in me. And I have to stay in you, okay? As I was thinking about this, I was thinking how Paul, writing in Romans, talked about Israel and using the olive tree, and how that natural Israel, which came out of the natural olive tree, because they didn't produce, because of their unbelief, the branch is cut off. And the Gentiles, because they did believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, were grafted into the olive tree. He says we were wild by nature. Well, that fit me. And he grafted me in. And the Israelites who rejected Jesus were cut off. They refused the life. He was wanting to pour into them. He was wanting to impart that they did not want to be imparted into. You understand? And so the same principle here with that olive tree and the branch as it is with the vine and the branch. Jesus is doing, He's done everything that He can do to provide everything that we need. But what are we doing with what He's done? Are we receiving that in us? Are we staying in Him and Him in us so we can produce fruit? And that's what He's wanting in earth. He's wanting production. God loves to reproduce. Israel wouldn't do it. He didn't say, well, I tried and failed. No, I will produce. If the branch doesn't do it, I'll find another one. But I'm going to produce fruit. I'll graft in whatever I need to graft in to produce the fruit. And that's why you and I are here tonight. We're Gentiles, you understand. Wild by nature, that's been grafted in. Why? Because God has desire to reproduce. We should have as much desire to reproduce as God does. You understand? So, Lord, pour into me. Work through me. I want to know you. You know me. I want to know you, and I want to know you in me. You understand? Because I don't want to be guilty of neglecting what you want to look after. And here again, we're talking about the vine and branches and the the sheep and the shepherd and all these things. When you look at the kingdom of God, all these things interrelate. God's love for people. People's rejection of God's love. Or their acceptance of God's love. And when we accept what He's offering, we will produce fruit. Herein is my Father glorified, that you produce much fruit. Don't be satisfied with a little bit, but that you produce much fruit. Don't just try to meet production, but let's excel. Okay, let's excel for the Lord. Now here's the thing, disciples are recognized by fruit production. It's not what I'm saying, but what's my life producing. That determines whether or not I'm a disciple of Jesus. And we're to produce the fruit of the Spirit. The only way you can produce the fruit of the Spirit, you're going to have to get united with the Spirit. You're going to have to listen to the Spirit. And really the fruit of the Spirit, as you see in Galatians 5, 22-23, is really the character of Jesus Christ. He wants us to produce that character, love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. He wants that produced out of our lives, but He also wants fruit of our labor. You understand? You don't get the two mixed up. The union of the vine and the branch is going to produce fruit. If I'm united with Him and I'm drawing from Him, not only will I produce character of the Lord, but I'll be doing things for the Lord. You understand? That's what this is all about. He's telling you how the kingdom of God works. This is how the kingdom of God works. God gives to you what you need to do what God wants you to do. Isn't that basic? Pretty simple when you think about it. Okay, the fruit of the Spirit's revealed in our attitudes, revealed in our conduct, the fruit of our labors, or the things we do for the kingdom of God. You don't want to get too confused. A lot of people do things for without ever entering into that personal intimate relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. They're just doing works rather than producing the fruit that God's calling for. Now let me summarize this. Parables are simple stories that illustrate a moral or spiritual truth. Parables are not fictitious teaching, they're illustrative teaching. They have the unique ability of enlightening one while confusing another. Two people hear the same thing and one gets a revelation, the other says, I don't have a clue. Valuable messages from the Lord are often given only to those who have a heart to the Lord. He says, I speak in parables, so seeing they see, but they don't. Having eyes to see, they don't see. Having ears to hear, they don't hear. I'm speaking to them in parables. So those who do have eyes and ears will hear what the Spirit's saying. If I speak it in parables, you're going to have to get into the Spirit to understand it. If you just try to understand it naturally, it's not going to happen. There are over 50 recorded parables used by Jesus in His various discourses. Valuable teaching tool for him. You understand? Illustrative teaching. Parables can and should be used as teaching tools. However, not all effective teaching is accomplished through parables, so don't think that every time you stand up and teach, you have to speak in parable form. Right? And some people do that. Parables reveal keys or principles to the kingdom of God. Therefore, it's beneficial to study and learn the meanings of these various parables. Parables may have more than one meaning or reveal more than one principle. Glean, dig, learn. It's imperative that we learn the meaning of parables of Jesus. Otherwise, we'll fail to understand the valuable teachings of Jesus. We'll fail to understand things about the kingdom of God. Now, with that said, I want to talk to you a little bit about the kingdom of God. I use the word a lot. kingdom of God, kingdom of heaven. And we're talking about how parables reveal truths about the kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven. Kingdom is the Greek word basileia, and it just simply means a realm or rule. Okay, so when we're talking about a kingdom, we're talking about something that's ruling. And so when we say kingdom of God, we know that it's God ruling the kingdom. When we say heaven, we know that it's a kingdom that comes out of heaven. It didn't come from men. An origin is from heaven. It belongs to God. Okay? And so when Jesus said that we should pray for his kingdom to come in earth or on earth as it is in heaven, what he's actually saying is, I want my dominion operating right here on earth. Now, Jesus in the 17th chapter of John says that we're in the world, but we're not to be of the world. Of the world means that you're under subjection to the kingdoms of the world. You're following their kingdoms, their methods, their messages. But if you're following the kingdom of God, God's kingdom operating in earth, is even though we're in a natural world, we're not living by natural laws and principles, we're living by spiritual laws and principles. That's why miracles can be wrought. It defies natural laws. You understand? It couldn't be done out of the natural. It has to be done out of the spirit realm. And God is wanting to take us into a dimension that we haven't walked before. And it's into the realm of the spirit. Not something spooky, not something mystical. Something supernatural. And supernatural just means that it's above natural. It's over the natural. And so, in order for the kingdom of God to rule, we've already said many times that he rules by his word and by his spirit. So, if I am ignorant of the scriptures, then the kingdom of God is not ruling me. If I don't follow the lead of the Holy Spirit, the kingdom of God is not ruling me. You understand? Because he rules through the Word and by the Spirit. And so when I look at these parables, they're natural things, but they're teaching spiritual truths. So I'm going to have to go inside into a different realm in order to understand what's being said. The kingdom of God is like this. The kingdom of God is like this. The kingdom of God can be compared to this. Have you noticed how the parables, or many of the parables, are saying that specifically? The kingdom of God is as, or the kingdom of God is likened to. Okay? And then we look at the especially Mark the 4th chapter, it's like seed going in to ground. He shows you how this produces. You don't arrive under the direct rule of the kingdom of God overnight. When you get born again, you're not ruled by God. You just got born again and you put yourself in a position to enter into the kingdom of God. You have to receive Jesus Christ. You have to be born again to see the kingdom of God. But there's a difference between seeing a kingdom and entering into a kingdom, and there's a difference between entering into a kingdom and operating by the principles of that kingdom. God does not only want us to enter into the dimension where he rules, but he wants us to operate with the principles of that dimension here on earth. Here on earth. Right here, right now, in this lifetime. But that can't happen if we're ignorant of God's principles, if we're ignorant of God's kingdom and how it works. And so a lot of what's being revealed to us is letting us know how the kingdom of God works. Not everyone that says, Lord, Lord. Not everyone who works miracles. Not everyone who prophesies. Not everyone who casts out devils is ruled by God. Many will say to me, Lord, Lord, and I'm going to say, I didn't know you. You understand? And so by learning the things about the kingdom of God, it keeps you from being deceived by spectacular things. Satan operates in the supernatural realm also. We understand. He's a spiritual being as well. And so if you don't know God's kingdom, if you don't know the government, if you don't know the constitution that operates, that the kingdom operates with, you'll be deceived. And this is the constitution. Do you understand that the nation of Israel, the constitution of the nation, their laws that they live by, civil laws, dietary laws, sanitary laws, all these things that they lived by was the spoken word of God given to Moses who wrote them down. God set the Constitution. So the Constitution that was to rule the nation of Israel was the Word of God. The Constitution that's to rule the body of Christ is the Word of God. And if we are disagreeing with the Word, or not submitting to the Word, then to say that we're in God's kingdom is a deception. You're deceiving yourself. I know if God's ruling me by whether or not I'm obeying God. You with me? Okay. God's wanting His kingdom manifested in earth. So He's given us keys, not to the kingdom, keys of the kingdom. I give unto you the keys of the kingdom. Keys to just get you in. Keys of lets you operate with all the principles in the kingdom. And that's what God has given to us. But they're not just like picking apples off of a tree. You have to dig to find them. And they're hidden for us, not from us. They're hidden from the world. But they're hidden for the believer. A wise man digs deep. Those who diligently seek Him are rewarded by Him. Okay? Now that's just real capsulizing on the kingdom of God. But it's very simple. It's God ruling. And you don't have to be a rocket scientist to figure out if God's ruling your life. If you are, He's not. If you're calling the shots, He's not. If you're advising Him, He's not. And I can tell you right now that most of the prayers prayed are giving God advice, not prayed out of the Spirit. That's why most of them aren't answered. Because they're not according to the will of God. But if God's ruling your heart, and you're following the lead of the Spirit of God, then you expect things to take place. It has to take place if we're doing it God's way. Because God can't fail. God's kingdom doesn't fail. Now, God's kingdom is here on earth today. But so are the kingdoms of the devil, the kingdoms of the world. And He knows He has a short time, so He's doing everything that He can do to deceive people, to destroy people, to pit people one against the other, to bring division. You want a nation to go down? Divide it. You want a family to go down? Divide it. Anything you think of, you divide it. How do you divide it? Get someone to believe something that's not the Word, and another one believing the Word. Now we have a division. Two cannot walk together without agreeing. Jesus said, I didn't come to bring peace. I came to bring a sword. I will divide the house with the Word of God. Those who follow the Word and those who don't follow the Word. That's the dividing line. Those who are ruled by me and those who are not ruled by me. Those who do not follow the Word are not ruled by God. The separation. And the Lord said to me a few weeks ago that the separation had begun. And He said, you'll be able to recognize who's really the sheep that's following the voice of God. You'll know who's under the dominion of God. You know why? They'll do what God says. And if God speaks to you and you speak to them, they'll listen. But if God speaks to you and you speak to them and they don't listen, then you'll know they're just goats, not sheep. Interesting, isn't it? I hope you got something out of this. We do a test review. You got something you wanna say or share? Excuse me?
How do you feel about opening the floor for questions? You
want me to open the floor for questions? All right. You heard what she said.
Yeah.
So if you have a question concerning what we've been teaching, then ask it. You got something? Okay. They don't have any questions. They already know it. Right. Are you okay? You know, a lot of times you get you sort of put a territory. Your hands with us to keep us from evil so that we do not cause pain. You bless us and keep us. You make your face to shine upon us. You're gracious unto us. You lift up your countenance upon us and you give us peace. So Lord, we invite you to rise up, let your enemies be scattered, and those who hate you flee before you. Amen. All right.